Hello friends and welcome to Fey Earth, a magical world set in an alternate 19th century Earth, where every creature from folklore and fairy tale is real, have always been real, and lived alongside humanity. Join our adventurers as they explore a world of arcane mysteries and danger, where the new scientific and industrial age collides with an ancient world of fairy and magic.
So, great to have people here. My name is Neil. I am the creator of Fey Earth, our indie TT RPG set in an alternate 19th century Earth where all the creatures from folklore and fairy tale are real, have always been real, and live alongside society. Unfortunately, we are down two players today. Tendai, who plays the delightfully mysterious Amanata, and Safi, who plays the somewhat shady sorcerer Feruz, could not make it tonight because life getting in the way of the more important things of Fey-filled fun. But we hope that we will see them back next week. And nonetheless, we will get back to our story. It's been a while since we played. I think, is it 2-3 weeks since we last streamed? I think this is 3 weeks. So it feels like 3 years. So it is great to be back. But before we go any further, who would like to give us a recap of our last session?
Oh my god, what did we do?
It
was so long ago.
We fought the pugs. We killed two of them. Then Feyruth had blinked out. She started screaming for help. Sent a message to Madame Gauthier, who then sent her guy with a carriage. And he was wearing glasses of true sight, so he saw us. We got, because Feyruz cast invisibility on us. The carriage was jumping through shadows, which was super cool. Mina was sick after it, because it was like very bleh. Then Madame Gauthier was all like, oh, I have friends in the constabulary, it's totally not a problem that you killed people. Then there was a bit of miscommunication because some of us thought we wanted to keep stuff. We decided ultimately to come clean about what we had. There was a spear that the lightning or something, thunder damage, so the enchantment's going to be merged with Albert, which is going to also reduce the cost. We got some magical items and out of character, none of us know this, but Mina's going off to an underground fighting ring.
Okay, that is 1d8 inspiration die that you can use for any one ability test.
I feel like I shouldn't have done that because Mina needs it.
So, it's Wednesday evening. Mina does eventually get back to Amanada's house. Our spellcasters have been spending the day learning new spells. Sylvia and Gwyn able to do so through simple meditation, learning their new spells, and as they do, Gwyn writing hers into her book of shadows, Sylvia being a druid, carving her spells onto little wooden discs that she carries using the Ohm alphabet. The druids of Fey Earth carve their spells traditionally onto their wands or quarterstaffs that they carry in Ohm script. Sylvia doesn't like the idea of going around with a big dumbass stick, so she has little.
I'm not a wizard.
She has little wooden discs that she carries hers on. However, Justine is a sorcerer, and as such, they learn their spells either directly copying from a book of shadows or through arcane research. So, Justine, you have picked two spells, I believe. And are keeping a first level spell slot. This is a fun mechanic that we have in our system, which I'm not aware of in any other games. I'm not saying that Earth is the best TTRPG out there, but it kind of is. Spellcasters, every time they go up a level, they learn new spells at each level. So the party's casters just got to 8th level, so they learn a new 1st, 2nd, and 3rd level spell. A player can choose not to learn a spell of a specific level and save that spell slot. And then when they go up a level again, at 9th level, they get another 1st, 2nd, and 3rd level spell. They could combine, say, the same 1st level slot from 8th level with the new one they get from 9th, and they get a 2nd level spell slot. So this is a fun mechanic that allows you as a caster to save spell slots to merge to make higher level spell slots. So that while you end up knowing less spells overall, you can learn more higher level spells. Okay, it gives you more flexibility over your caster, because at the low levels in this game, you're desperately trying to learn all the cool spells that you want to know. But once you get into the mid and upper tiers, a lot of the time there might be low level first and second level spells that you've no real interest in. So this allows you then to take more of the higher level spells. But you did take a 2nd and a 3rd level spell, Justine. That's correct, yes? So you've chosen to take the 2nd level spell, Magic Circle. So you need to give me an arcane research roll. So that's pretty simple. This is rolling your d20 and then adding your magic score. You do not have any talents in the sphere of the arcane, but you do have a magic of 5. So you add 5 to the roll, okay? And because it is a 2nd level spell, you must get a 17 or higher. So, what did you get?
I rolled 12.
Plus 5 is 17. You got exactly what you needed. So, after 2 hours of research, you learn that spell. Okay? Now, there is our 3rd level spell, which you've taken, which is the spell Mana Receptacle. Not to be confused with the mana receptacles that the party have been buying. This is a spell that sorcerers can learn where they temporarily turn an object of sufficient monetary value into a mana receptacle. It can be exhausted and recharged up to 3 times before it is destroyed. If you have money, you can get permanently enchanted mana receptacles from artificers, such as the ones that the party have bought off Madame Josephine Gautier, or found when they mercilessly murdered a man who was just trying to negotiate a better contract with his capitalist overlord. So this spell is kind of like makes nice, very useful temporary mana receptacles, and they can be stacked. So if you make a mana receptacle, you can be drawing mana from that and drawing mana from the one that you have already, okay? But the target number for this is an 18, still rolling plus 5. Total?
No, rolled 11, but it doesn't matter, 16.
Well, it does matter, because the amount you fail by makes a big bloody difference. You failed by no more than 3. So that means you only roll once on the temporary effects table. So after 3 more hours, you do learn. Now, you do still learn the spell. So you do still learn the spell and add it to your Book of Shadows, but you do have a magical mishap while you were doing your research. And now we get to see the effect. So roll for me a d20.
What the fuck was I doing in college for like 4 years? 12.
Okay. All right. So, your body becomes lethargic and you feel like you're wading through water. For the next 3 hours, your speed is halved and you suffer a penalty to any dexterity checks equal to -3.
Okay.
So,
that's crappy, but
it's not that terrible. Because you did get a permanent effect, didn't you? Justine has
heterochromic.
Yeah, you have 2 different colored eyes now because you've got a most of the time. Most of the time, the effects are temporary. But if you roll unluckily, or you fail by a really if you fail your magic research roll by. If you rolled a nat 20 on the magic research, then you roll on the permanent effects table. If you rolled a nat 1, Yes?
Excuse me, Neil. It's also really funny that none of, NPC sorcerers are walking around with, feathers sticking out of their heads and different eyes.
None that you've met, but it is something that, does happen, and it's one of the ways in which people who know their spellcasters can usually identify sorcerers because they're usually kind of posh because they usually come from more wealthy backgrounds. So if you see a posh spellcaster, you'd be like, that's probably a sorcerer. But if you see an especially posh spellcaster with, like, I don't know, weird colored nails or like little horns or something, like, they could be fey touched or they had a magical mishap. Okay? But nonetheless, you do still learn the spells. Okay? So, I don't think there was anything else. Safi is not here, so we can't roll for Feruz. So we can be, if there is any hilarious magical mishaps, we can retcon that next week. Okay? But nonetheless, I don't think there was anything else that anybody had planned, was there?
I'm just going to take a nap for 3 hours.
That's fair. That's totally fair.
Very, very, very slowly go through the direction of the bed.
Yes. No, that's totally understandable. Gwyn, you do get a message later in the evening from Josephine Gauthier asking if you would be free tomorrow to go for afternoon tea.
Oh, lovely. Absolutely. Yeah, I'll reply and say yes. Most certainly.
Okay. You do have Moonlit Script now, don't you?
I do.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay. So.
Let me just check. I think so. Mm. Or if not, I'll just use the Arcanogram she gave me or something.
Well, there is the Arcanogram as well. No, looking at it, you do have Moonlit Script, yes. You could also reply with the Arcanogram that she's giving you, okay? Right. So, yeah, if there's nothing else that anybody has planned, we can just say that you all go to bed for tonight.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Okay, right. So, you all go to bed for tonight. The next morning, you just get up. People are pottering. Does anybody have anything that they actually had planned to do? It's Thursday now.
Far hitting the book.
Are you starting to read? Are you going to start? Because we need to know when you start counting that. Because you have to read it in 7 days and it's 100 hours worth of reading.
Yep.
So we do need to track. So we are saying that on Thursday the 28th you start reading the book, yes?
Yeah, I'm looking for, if I break the streak, I'll start again, you know? But I've got to start.
Yeah.
So
that's all you're just in your room for the day, reading for like 14, 15 hours solid.
Yep.
At this point, is Mina, she's just gone, we haven't seen her in a while.
Well, Mina like came back that evening. Yeah, she did come back and had dinner with you all.
Yeah,
like, yeah.
I'm out though. Yeah, but then I left again.
For the next morning, you pop out again, okay?
Or so whatever I'm doing.
Is she there?
Yeah, very early in the morning.
Okay.
So, Justine, you don't have anything planned, do you? Or I suppose, actually, Justine, something that you could do if you wished. So the way your new spell works is, okay, you enchant an object to make a temporary receptacle for mana. It doesn't need to have been constructed for this, but the amount of mana that can be stored in it is 5 mana points per gold of value of the object. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know how much gold you actually possess right now.
That's a very interesting question. Do I know?
Well, it should be on your character sheet if you've been a good player and been keeping track.
I think I started being a good player.
Okay.
78 gold sounds about right.
Yeah, okay. So, you could, if you want, go off to out into the city to buy, like, what kind of an object do you think you would want to use to create a mana receptacle?
I think I'm going to try and find like bracelets for all my spellcaster gals, because, you know, or like pendants, something like that. Because rings, I don't know the
sizes.
But I think bracelets or like pendants are a bit more universal.
Okay, so it's 5 mana per gold. So what value of object would you be getting per pendant or whatever? Okay.
So how many of us are spellcasters?
There is 4 of you.
4 of you. Perfect. Do we count Aminasha because she can do some...
All she knows is cantrips because of her fey blood. So she doesn't use mana. Same with Mina. Mina has one cantrip that she knows. because of her fey lineage, but you know yourself, cantrips don't cost mana.
Yeah. So the next question is it going to have like a magical item weight?
No, because it's just considered a consumable.
Perfect. So I can basically deposit as much as I can afford?
In theory, yes.
So what if I spend, let's say 40 gold, 10 each.
Okay. Then you could, in theory, enchant one of these objects at up to 50 mana. You currently have 57, not including your mana receptacle, which has the additional 30.
Yep. Well, I'll start working away.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, so then, what is it that you're buying? For this 40 gold?
I think I'm going to buy like nice pendants. Because as well, like bracelets. Different wreaths have different sizes.
Yeah, any particular... I mean, it doesn't really matter. It's just really for narrative flavor. Any particular type of stone?
I try at least to make an effort and find something that I think other people would like.
Okay.
Maybe in terms of like color. So like something green for Sylvia. Something like red for Gwyn.
Of course.
Yay. I think blue for Safia.
For Farouz, yeah.
Purple for myself.
Okay, right, super. So you get various different semi-precious stones, each worth a value of 10 gold. Okay. Yep. Now you can go home and you could cast this spell and enchant one of them today. Because as I said, each one can hold up to 50 mana. You've got 57 mana, so you could do one per day.
Yep. Sounds good.
Okay, so that's what you're going to basically be spending the day working on.
Yep.
You're gone for a couple of hours, you do your shopping, you come back with the stones, and you make the mana receptacles. Who are you gifting the first mana receptacle to?
Yourself? I'm going to make the green one first.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to give it to Sylvia just yet. I'll wait for a bit. Because I think Easton wouldn't know how to do it. She'll be like super awkward about it. So she'll be like, I'll just try. See how it goes.
Cute.
Okay. So will we just jump to Gwyn then?
Tea time.
Mina, are you just out for... We'll come back to you in a little bit, but I'm assuming you're just at random exploration right now. Yeah, cool. So, Gwyn, you meet Josephine at a lovely little place kind of near her shop for afternoon tea. It's about 12:30 at this stage, and she's sitting there. She's wearing this breathtaking kind of rich blue gown. It's not a ball gown, it's a day dress, obviously, okay? Mm-hmm. But still looking as breathtaking as always. When you arrive, she gets up, kisses on the cheeks. Sit down, my dear, it's so lovely to see you. And then she waves at one of the waiting staff, and a moment later they come, and they've got a tiered set of trays. There's some little sandwiches on it, but there's also pâtisserie. There's some tiny little profiterole, some éclair, there's some little pain au chocolat. It's like really nice little nibbles with lots of chocolate, because this is France.
Gwyn has never been to afternoon tea.
Well, you are aware of it, because you did grow up in England.
So she's just going to, cool as a cucumber. Act like she's done all this before.
You're expecting more cucumber sandwiches than what you're getting. There's these lovely pâtisseries with chocolate in them. But, you know, you're like, okay. But I will say this. This is a posh place.
Yes.
This is a posh place. You are feeling probably a little out of place here. Even with your relatively wealthy merchant class background, this is still pretty feckin' posh.
Yeah, definitely. And I think Gwyn is always going to try and keep face in whatever social situation
mm-hmm.
that she's in to blend in. Mm-hmm. But yeah, internally she's like, "Oh, baby, this is not my place."
So you're sitting there. So Josephine's like, "So my lovely, how are you doing? How have these last few days been? I hope it hasn't been too stressful for you."
Well, not stressful necessarily. No, dare I say we've been through worse. But how are you? How's business?
Please,
men didn't.
Oh, please! It takes more than some silly little men to rattle me, my dear. You know that,
of course.
I mean, look. Truth be told, I could have handled it myself, but I genuinely did have a pressing engagement that day, mm-hmm. and it's nice to know that I have a band of capable women who I can rely on. As a woman.
Of course. Listen, we have each other's backs. And that is something I did want to talk to you about. Instead of using these silly troops of men, why not consider us your go-to procurers?
Oh, do not worry, my dear. That is certainly what I'm doing. And like those men that I'd hired, that was for a job that I'd contracted shortly before I actually met you.
Ah, I see.
Yeah, so okay. that's what that was. It was further to the west, a bit south of Brittany. So there'd been, you know, by the time they'd traveled there, that's what that was, okay? Trust me, if I had met you at that time, I would have sent you.
Wonderful. Well, of course, we're available whenever you need to send us on an adventure again. But in the meantime, no, I'm well. Everyone is fine to varying degrees. I'm a bit worried about Mina, to be honest.
Why? She seems fine to me. Well,
here until the early hours. It's just that it's a strange city, and who knows how her.
I think that young woman can definitely take care of herself. She strikes me as being an exceptionally capable woman, quite a formidable warrior, and I would not be surprised if she can handle herself just as well without the halberd. Although she is quite fond of that object. It's delightful, really.
She is. And she is wonderful. And she is strong. But still, I worry.
You're so precious. And she, like, cups her hand over yours. It's like, you're so kind-hearted, you know? You're so caring to everybody, to your friends, to myself. I feel like people don't appreciate you enough for how kind you are.
I don't know that I'm that kind, to be honest. But I am quite fond of my travelling companions, and I would just hate to see them get hurt.
Oh, I think they're all well able to handle themselves. They're good, strong women.
They really are, and it's just so fortuitous to have met them
along the road. Even the quiet little one, Justine, you know, she's
incredibly powerful. I did not want to cross you.
Oh, I can tell. I can tell. Yeah. Yes, she's she comes across as nervous at times, but I'm sure she can handle herself quite well.
Yes. Well, you have yet to see her in a graveyard. Leave me.
And she looks a bit. She's like, looks a bit. What?
And she's going to kind of revel in that, not tell her too much. You know.
Sometime you'll have to fill me in on that story.
Perhaps. So what's going on in your world? Well, any jobs for us to do?
Not right now, but I do have a engagement I was wondering if I could have your help with this Saturday.
Do tell.
How about we walk? At this age, you just have finished your sandwiches, your patisserie, your tea and coffees. So you just get up. She obviously has an accountant. They don't even ask for money. She's like, this is like, you know, proper rich people, you know, this is still in the era when, sorry for you, forgive my gendered terms, but this is still very much in the era when credit was the sign of a gentleman. You know, rich people
never touch money.
Yeah, no, that late, like this was a thing, like even into the late 19th and early 20th century, this idea that the truly wealthy never handed money over to pay for things. They would have lines of credit which would be dealt with because they were wealthy, you know. Yeah, which is where the phrase credit is the sign of a gentleman comes from.
very old and archaic phrase that was used a lot by wealthy white men in Europe. But yeah. So she links arms with you, as she is mm-hmm. wont to do, and you start strolling along and says, "Oh, this is a lovely place. Have you ever been here?" She's pointing at what looks to be a really expensive, extremely high class, forgive me for not knowing the correct term, but a dressmaker shop.
No, I haven't.
Please, let's go in. No, no, and she pulls. No, she like gently and playfully drags you in. Okay. So you go inside and you see there's this very, very striking looking woman. Very, very dark skin, similar complexion to Abinata's, actually. Hold on. Apologies. Standing at the counter, as Madame Gautier comes in, she sees her and she's like, "Madame Gautier, it's so wonderful to see you. What a wonderful smile." She says, "Angélie, it's always a pleasure." And they go up and there's kisses. And like, "This is my dear, close, very special friend, Gwyn. And she needs your help." Mm-hmm. And she's like, this woman is straight away eyeing you up. But not in the, "Hey, I'm checking you out." In the professional seamstress. Yeah, she is measuring you up. "Of course, I've just gotten some new silks in. I think they would be perfect for this lovely girl's lovely complexion. Such fair skin. You cold-blooded Northern Europeans with your fair skin. You know." And by the way, this woman, she has a French accent. Okay, she's speaking in fluent French with a French accent. She's not speaking with any. She doesn't have a foreign accent. Okay, it's just, "Oh, please, Angélie, you always tease." And there's a bit of flirtation going on. You're like, everyone's like, maybe there's an have ever here, you know? And she says, let's go towards the back. So you go towards the back and she says, "Mademoiselle, if you would not mind just taking off the outer garment so I can get some more accurate measurements, please."
Of course. Gwyn at this point is quite uncomfortable because she would have no real use for like silk and finery. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to complain. Yeah. I'm going to go with this.
Yeah. So she starts taking some measurements and she has an assistant and she's calling out numbers. The assistant has a similar complexion to her. They both love this dark African complexion. You would have no idea what part of Africa they're from. You're from bleeding England. You would not know. All right. They look, you know, Eastern African, Ethiopian, Somalian, or West. That you know, haven't got a clue. Okay. No. And when she's speaking to the assistant, she's speaking in some language you do not recognize. Okay. And then so they take the measurements and they just, "Okay, that is," and she spends the next like 30, 40 minutes like showing these amazing silks, these beautiful, rich burgundies and like emerald greens and like, and there's lacing and there's brocade and it's like, this shit looks like it would cost more than your mother might have made in a year.
Yeah.
It's like, holy crap. Like, this is not the kind of fabric you use for a day dress. This is the kind of fabric you use for a ball gown. And like, Josephine is asking your input, what colors you like, what fabrics, what styles. Mm-hmm. So she's not just picking, but she is kind of leading the direction, if you get me. But she is looking for your input the whole time. And then Angélie brings out this book, and in the book is countless drawings, color drawings of different styles of fabulously breathtaking ball gowns.
Okay.
And they're like, "So which do you prefer? Do you want like with the low collar showing off the neckline, the bosom, the shoulders? And we have the very tightly cinched waist here, but something a bit more comfortable, you know." And she's going through all different, like, you know, well, these panniers, they were like, these are very much, you know, 1863, please, 1864. Like, they're like four seasons ago. It would be embarrassing. She's like, "Oh, no. We need the latest fashions, my dear." And they're like chatting about the latest fashion trends and all the rest of this and how, you know, and as they're having this conversation, perhaps. But as they are having this conversation, and she's like, this Saturday, we will be going to Gerard's, and she goes like, Côte à Moche. I say, what? Côte à Moche. Oh, okay. We want to make sure she gives an impression with her entrance. And she's like, I knew I could trust you, my darling. And so they've eventually picked out a pattern style of what looks to be a fabulously ridiculous ball gown. What colours do you think Gwyn would have eventually gone with?
Gwyn would go with an overall burgundy silk,
mm-hmm.
with maybe like the underlayer of like the corsetry on the chest might be like black brocade.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I think she'd go for a low enough neckline so she yep. could wear the jewellery that Madame Gautier got her.
Of course. Yeah, absolutely. It says, I will have it. I will have it for you on Saturday. Collection or delivery. And Madame Gautier says, here, please. And she writes an address to be delivered to him. And she says, of course, Madame. And so she's like, oh, this is so exciting, Gwyn. I have this.
You squeal me. This
well,
is
well, no. I see, the engagement that I have this Saturday that I need your help with is a... It's a small minor ball.
Mm-hmm.
It's very small.
Okay.
Only 60, 70 people.
That's quite large.
Not
by Cornish standards.
This,
but okay.
This is Paris, please.
Yeah.
This is tiny.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like you there with me.
Oh, well, of course I would be honored to accompany you. Of course.
I cannot
wait. But what is the nature of the work that you need me to do there that could justify such a dress?
Keep me entertained and help me to ignore all the men offering to entertain me.
Well, that I can definitely do.
Of course. When you are a wealthy woman like me, even though I am not from a very important family. We don't, of course, have noble families anymore. They all ended up in the guillotine.
You must get no peace.
You do get a lot,
mm-hmm.
an awful lot of men pursuing you. Of course, they're pursuing me for is my money as much as my fine bosom. Because we all know the way the laws work. What's mine is mine until I'm married to a man. Then it becomes his.
Exactly. A good reason mm-hmm. never to marry
him. Yes. So, I have one more little surprise for you.
Really, it's all this really, truly is.
Please, and she takes her hand, your hands in her hands again. She's like, please, you're an absolute gem, so you deserve gems, but it's not a gem.
You've given me enough of those.
So, we'll take a little bit of a walk. And as she's taking a walk, she's casting Moonlit Script, mm-hmm. sending a message off to somebody. And so you're taking a wonderful stroll along this boulevard in a very, very fancy, very mm-hmm. expensive part of Paris. And about maybe 5 or 6 minutes later, a very fine carriage slows down beside you. You immediately recognize it as her carriage.
Mm-hmm.
So you alight into her carriage and you go. The carriage is not leaping through the shadows. It's first of all, it's like 2:30, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, so there's not that many shadows. Mm-hmm. And also, it's
acting like a normal carriage.
It's acting like a very normal carriage for very normal rich people. So she leads you along to a very nice spot, not quite the very, very super fancy area that you wear, along down nice street, and you alight outside this very, very nice house. She leads you up, produces a key, opens the door, and you go into a very, very fine hallway, and she leads you up 2 flights of stairs to a top floor, where she produces another key and opens the door, leading into what appears to what is a very, very lovely apartment on the top floor.
This is magnificent.
It's quite nice. It's not crazy big. It's got a very, very nice kind of, you come into a very, very nice kind of living room space. There's some shelves, there's some little ornamentation, not a lot. It looks like it's been relatively recently done up. There is a small section off to the side. It's not like a proper kitchen with stove and everything, but it's a small space to prepare simple foods. And then there's a very nice small little bathroom with a lovely what are they called again? The baths with the feet.
Oh yeah.
what's they called again? I'm very tired, brain freeze. But very, very fine. Bath, washstand, and all the rest of it. Thank you, yeah. And then there's and then into a very, very nice bedroom. Fabulous, very large, very, very nice four-poster bed. Wonderful wardrobe, chest of drawers, a vanity set. And she turns, she's like, so what do you think?
It's gorgeous, but...
You like it?
It's beautiful. Yeah, it's absolutely gorgeous.
I'm so happy.
Please do not tell me that this is one of your...
I really felt that you need your own space, and we have another place to have privacy for the two of us. And I mean, it's actually not that far from your friends. It's only about a 15-minute ride in a cab to Amanata's address. And it's about 10 minutes from where Feruz is staying as well. She's in the slightly less nice part of the city, but still quite a nice, relatively safe part of the city. And I just thought, you know, I wanted you to be happy and have your own space in which to do your things. And yes.
I'm speechless. You finally managed to, completely stop my brain functions. This is beyond generous.
Please. Think of all the ways you've helped me.
Well, I mean, hopefully we can be of more use to you to make up for all of this.
Oh, please, please, please. Of course, you totally deserve this, my dear.
Yeah, Gwyn's brain is just like, what? Like, for her owning property for, I think, at this period of time, for anyone owning property, young, single woman is probably absolutely insane. So her brain is melting.
Darling, you're paying for it in other ways, believe
me. Well, that's true. That's true. That is very true.
So,
Gwyn's just in awe. Used to be thanking her.
You just kind of sits down on the bed, and it's kind of slightly springy, and she kind of presses down on the mattress, and she gives you a look.
Absolutely.
And you guys test out the mattress. It's an exceptionally comfy mattress.
Wonderful.
Exceptionally comfy. Okay. Yes. So you spend however long you wish. Josephine does not appear to be in any rush to be anywhere this afternoon or this evening. I will say she does not spend the night, however.
Okay. Well, Gwyn is in no rush either. And I think as soon as Josephine leaves, she's just going to take in the rooms.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's very lovely space. It's like there is some nice furnishings. There's like just two very nice chairs facing towards the fireplace in the living room. There's a small fireplace in the bedroom as well, of course. There is shelves with a couple of little items on it, but it's there's a lot. Like the shelving has been done in such a way that it looks tasteful and nice, but you could very easily move stuff around to create space for your own items on the shelf. Okay. You know?
Mm-hmm. I think, she's just going to take time and kind of comprehend how she's going to tell the group about this, because it is so just strange and out of the blue. But eventually, I think she'll use Moonlit Script to...
Who's she going to message?
She's actually gonna message Yassine.
Okay.
Would she tell? And she's gonna say something along the lines of, "I'm fine, and I'll be back shortly. I have something to show you all."
Okay, so you get that message at whatever time in the afternoon, evening. Okay, Mina, what do you spend the day doing?
Sorry, I have been exploring the last couple of days. Mm-hmm. And Mina is out and she's going up to Montmartre because she heard that it's a cheaper part. It's not part of the city yet.
Mm-hmm.
It's still has to be swallowed by the city, but it's close enough. And there is all sorts of really interesting people there. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of painters. Mm-hmm. There's lots of brothels, not that she cares.
Very still, bohemian part of the city.
Extremely bohemian, also very cheap, as I said, not quite part of the city yet, but more kind of like a, you know, getting swallowed up soon.
Yeah.
And she seems to kind of like it. It's not very, you know, I mean, it's not harsh. It's nice. Yeah, people are kind of weird, but she seems to kind of like it there.
Mm-hmm.
So Mina's been looking around to find some sort of accommodation for herself.
Okay.
Because she feels bad for mooching off Aminata all the time.
Okay. We'll say that you spend the entire day looking around, and you do find one or two places, apartments that are going relatively cheap, with nice house ladies, which is what you're looking for.
Yeah,
you,
because like she'd be happy in a room with, like, you know, main these kind of, as you say, house ladies, like with a couple of people in there, like, you know, main. So she'd be totally happy with that.
Yeah.
Where it's kind of like, oh, tell me where you are, otherwise I'll call your mom, kind of a thing.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. So we could say, like, you could rent a room in a house that has two other people renting rooms, and then there's the house lady as well who lives there. And, like, as part of your rent, you would get breakfast in the morning and dinner in the evening, you know.
Exactly. So
that was
what you'd be looking for.
And that was the way.
Thing, yeah.
That was the way. This was the Airbnb of the 19th century. That was literally how it worked, you know. Except it was probably better quality food and better deals, and you didn't have assholes then trying to slap you at 500 euro charges because they said you wrecked a gaff when you didn't. Yeah, so
then, you know, charge you 200 euros because you used a towel or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's ridiculous these days, like, you know.
So we'll say that you find a place, and she asks when you would like to move in. It will be, we'll say,
oh, I tell her that whenever it's convenient for her.
We'll say it'd be 3 silver a week.
Perfect.
Okay. About 3 silver a week is what you'd be paying. So what you get is a simple single room, like with a double bed, of course. There is a wash basin. Okay. There is a small bathroom that everybody shares. Okay. She tells you there are two other men who live there. She's actually surprised that, oh, because you are a woman looking for this accommodation. So she is actually surprised, and she starts asking.
I tell her about myself, so yeah. She kind of understands.
So she starts asking you some questions, and you can very quickly tell she's trying to figure out, are you a prostitute?
And I pull out my uniform.
She is gobsmacked.
From my goblin bag.
Yeah.
I was going to say bag of holding for a second there. Too much Baldur's Gate, everybody. That's what I did over Christmas, everybody, in case people are wondering. So I'm going to pull that out, and I say, like, yeah, I'm just, you know, I'm here with a couple of friends, but I'm also looking for a job. So I'm a Swiss guard, and at the moment I'm living in a friend's house, but I don't want to stay there indefinitely. It's not like I don't want, I just don't want to kind of mooch off her, you know. And I just explained the situation
to her. No, of course, absolutely. There's two men who
he seems really nice, you know what I mean, this really kind of motherly person that I never had.
She's so the woman is in her like late 40s herself. She explains to you that she is a widow. Her husband died in the war there recently, and they'd never had any children. So she, being a widow, started like they'd always wanted a big family, hence the house. Yeah. But they were never blessed with children. And then he died last year in the war. So being a struggling widow, she started to rent out the rooms to support herself. That's what basically has happened.
Of course.
Very common story, especially in the cities of France. Absolutely. Very, very common story. She says there are two men. One is he's a young man. He actually recently started working as a constable. And the other, slightly older.
Very nice, so you'd be very safe.
He's a clerk.
We'd be all very safe. Yeah.
And you needn't worry. The only people who will have a key to the room is you and myself. So you need not worry.
Yeah. Well, you know, I can defend myself, so it'll be fine.
Oh, trust me. If they even thought about it, my dear, you wouldn't get a chance to put them in their place. I would get to them way faster than you. I have none of that in my house. This is a good Christian house.
I laugh and giggle and I feel like, oh, fantastic. I'm also grew up Christian. And, you know,
very good, very good. And well, there's
from a Christian household.
There's a lovely church just down the road. I'll make sure to introduce you to the priest.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Thank you so much. And I just have a little bit of chat and, you know, talk to her and say, like, yeah, I'm really looking forward to joining the household and just, you know, have other people to talk to as well and just, you know, learn about Paris and France and everything. So,
okay, right.
Yeah.
So that's what you're doing. So, Justine, you basically, it takes you like a couple of hours with this spell. It's not like, you know, this spell is not one of these ones that you just can simply cast as a major action. It takes you how much mana was it? So you're putting 50 mana in, yeah? So it takes you a while the entire spell when you cast it takes nearly an hour to cast. So so you spend a good bit of time prepping before that, getting yourself into the right space, and then you spend an hour casting the spell. So it actually takes a good chunk of the day, but you do finally get it finished. Gwyn is out, Mina's out. There's just Farouz is not there. Amanada's had to run off to do some errands. So it's just you and Sylvia. You're mute. And
Sylvia's in her room, but she hasn't come out.
Sylvia's been in her room all day, but when you finally have the mana receptacle done. And you put it down for a while because you're like nervous about how do I do this? But eventually you're kind of feeling like, okay, maybe, you know, after a couple of hours after you've actually created the object, you're probably at that stage, I would think. I don't know what you think. Do you think, but after a few hours, you'd be like, okay, I can do this.
I think Justine is not going to kind of approach Sylvia out of nowhere. She's going to put the mono receptacle in her pocket or have it on her and just kind of wait for a good moment. So I don't know if we're going for like a dinner downstairs or something. Anyway, after Justine is done, it's probably like dinner time by this point anyway.
It's getting close.
She had to go to the city first. And then,
yeah, exactly. You know. Yeah. So like you're a couple of hours out shopping, then got home, prepared, then cast the spell, created the object and so forth. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I assume Justine knows what Sylvia is doing at the moment with the book and everything.
She does know that.
Yeah, she wouldn't want to disturb anyway. So she's just going to sit in the kitchen downstairs studying the journal.
Mm-hmm.
And just you know, having tea.
Yeah.
And stuff.
So, here's my question to Sylvia. When dinner is served, I'm not to just get home in time for dinner. Sylvia, do you come down for dinner or do you just take some food up to your room?
I'll come down and I'll sit at the table for like a little bit, just to sit there. So you see Sylvia is just kind of, she's just sort of moving the food around her plate. She's not eating very much.
Justine, can you give me an awareness roll, please?
Awareness of a turnip. That's what I have.
And the grace of a potato.
Yes.
What did you?
17, actually. Not too bad.
Okay, that's not terrible. Would you say...
You have
an awareness of zero. Would you say that's enough of a roll, Sylvia, that Justine gets a kind of a feeling of what of Sylvia's mood?
No, it is. She's not, like, Sylvia's not kind of...
Okay, so do you want to describe to Justine what Justine picks up of Sylvia's mood?
Sylvia is very much kind of collapsed in on herself. She, you can see she's trying to, like, you know, in this very much, it's time for me to eat, so I should be eating. And you get the sense she's trying to really force herself to eat. And she's kind of collapsed in on herself, and she's just staring at her plate. She is not making eye contact with anybody.
And Justine would have never seen Sylvia in this mood before, has she?
She did on Valentine's Day.
Was it as bad?
No, this would be a lot worse.
So the closest that you've seen Sylvia like this was on Valentine's Day.
Yeah. Just awkward. Justine is just awkward. She doesn't know what to do.
After a while, Sylvia is just gonna. She's gonna get up and just leave. She's eaten maybe about half the food ish. She's gonna be. I'm going to go back and study.
And at this point, Justine is going to stand up and just like really awkwardly reach into the pocket and give. She probably put it in like a little envelope or something, and just give it to Sylvia and be like, "Thank you for all the money you spent on me. I hope this will help," and just give it to Sylvia and just run away first.
Sylvia kind of...
You open up the envelope. What does Sylvia see?
It's a really kind of nice, elegant, not very expensive, but kind of good-looking anyway, tasteful little pendant on like a golden chain. Oh. It has a little kind of green stone. Mm-hmm. Some precious stone and sort of like a floral ornament, but not like a glamorous mm-hmm. floral. It has a bit of like, you know, like bits that are designed as like wooden pieces and branches, so it's a bit more kind of like ethnical, if you pardon my language. So more in Sylvia's kind of druidy style than all fancy and...
So, Justine goes to Scarborough as you open this. Sylvia, how do you react when you see this?
Sylvia's hands start shaking. You can see her eyes start... She starts tearing up and she just runs back upstairs.
Okay.
Successful communication, I think.
So, Well, with one incredibly socially awkward...
Between the two of you, you know me?
Yeah.
Bloody... Yeah.
Well,
you seen just thought that it was going to be worse if like everyone would be there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, all that social awkwardness aside, I think this is a perfect place to pause in our story. So, thanks.
Justine just ran off, did she?
Yeah.
She wouldn't have seen any of that.
No. Okay. She did not. So she ran off, and as I said, we are going to take a pause in our story. So, thank you, everybody.
More gifts being showered on Gwyn by Madame Gauthier, this time an apartment. And Justine also granting gifts to her friends, though a lot more awkward and probably a lot more innocent too. Our party are certainly doing well for themselves right now. Let's just hope that it doesn't come at too high a cost. If you enjoyed this episode and like to know more about the world of Feyre, both the system and the setting, please be sure to check out our itch.io page. fey-nerd.itch.io, where you find a bunch of really great products. We've got a lore primer, which goes into more details about the world, the Explorer's Guide to Feyre, an early release core rulebook, and Trouble in the North, our wonderful starter adventure, as well as a few one-shots. All our adventures come with quick play guides and pre-generated characters, so you can immediately start playing. Also, don't forget that at the start of March, we are launching our Kickstarter, trying to raise the funds to bring the world of Feyre to life, and we could dearly do with your support, so please be sure to check that out too.